Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, Jake, listening in Grand Island, Nebraska. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I got two things. I got a comment and then a question, I guess. The first one is about the Darwin's theory, and I'm a Christian. The people that believe in Darwin's theory, his first couple of research papers that he had written, and I don't know if you know this, or and it's not a lot of, not really common knowledge, but in his first couple research papers that he had written, he had mentioned that whether, in his theory, we came from a single-cell organism, or there was multi-single-cell organisms, he gave credit that there was a creator, and no matter how small it was, that there was a creator that made those organisms. And not a lot of people know that, and the reason I know that is because the guy that goes to my brother's church has an original copy of that, and since for even those people that believe in that, in his theory, it all comes back to even he said there was a creator. And that has been taken out, because just like nowadays, when we don't like things, we change them. If we don't like how marriage is, we change the definition of marriage, and so on and so forth. And so people, his fellow researchers after him, have changed that and have taken that out of there.
Well, first of all, there's no question whatsoever that Darwin at one point in his life said he was an orthodox believer. In fact, I have a quote in one of my books whereby Charles Darwin says, "Whilst on board the Beagle, I was quite orthodox, and I remember being heartily laughed at by several of the officers, though themselves orthodox, for quoting the Bible as an unanswerable authority on some point of morality." But Darwin also said this in Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, which is his magnum opus. "When it was first said that the sun stood still and the world turned round, the common sense of humankind declared the doctrine false. But the old saying, voice of the people, voice of God, as every philosopher knows, cannot be trusted in science." And ultimately, Darwin opted not for Orthodox Christianity, but for the notion that everything could be explained through the process of natural selection, working by random processes. So Darwin, whilst he said he started out an Orthodox believer, his belief was shattered as a result of embracing the evolutionary paradigm. And when I'm talking about evolution here, I'm not talking about microevolution, I'm talking about macroevolution, the idea that kinds evolve into different kinds. And I've said this on the broadcast before, but the Cambrian explosion has uprooted Darwin's tree of life and demonstrated beyond a peradventure of a doubt that Darwin's theory of evolution is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment.
Yeah, that's very well put. And so I guess that covers that comment slash question, I guess. And the second one real quick, I heard you talk before about the age of the Earth, and I believe in a young Earth, as in, you know, roughly 6,000 years. And if I'm wrong, then please just tell me. But from my understanding, you believe maybe in a little bit of an older of an Earth, maybe measured in millions or billions of years. And I've heard you use the illustration of light years, how long the light years take to get from the sun to the Earth. And if you look in the sky at night, you could see a star in its infancy and see a star that's about ready to die and burn out. And that takes millions of years for those things to happen, that as scientists can read now. I firmly believe that if God wants there to be light from the sun to the earth, which would take, you know, millions of light years, but if he wants that to happen in 1 second, he can have that happen in 1 second. I feel that if we say those things about the stars and the sun, that we might be limiting God on his power and say that he has to wait for those things to come around. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, I guess.
Well, first of all, I don't disagree with your premise. I mean, God can, in fact, do that. The question is, did he? And I think that's really how we have modern science to begin with. It came as a result of thinkers like Augustine, who believed that we could, in fact, read the book of nature, not only could, but should, with the same diligence that we apply to reading the Bible. And therefore, we need to be students of the book of nature. And the book of nature, like the Bible, is not full of lies or full of deception. It's a textbook that we can trust. That's really what gave birth to Christian universities. It's what gave birth to the whole mechanism of science to begin with. It is men of science, men of God, learning to think God's thoughts after him. So whether the universe is old or young is a function of learning to read God's book of nature. And of course, Psalms talks about both the book of nature and the Bible, one being special revelation, the other being general revelation. And again, I think that if you read the book of nature correctly, it points to an old universe, not to a young earth. If you look at the Bible doesn't really weigh in on the issue. The Bible doesn't give us a chronology of creation. It gives us a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind.
Sure. Yeah, that's some good stuff. Well, that answers some of my questions and my comments and my thoughts and stuff. So I appreciate your broadcast and for taking my call.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Jake. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Next up is Fred. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I have just a quick question. It's related to what is claimed as the absence of any historical evidence of or mention of Jesus in the Roman history. It was basically something I picked up online. Somebody was answering a question for somebody else, and he mentioned that there is no mention of Jesus in anything related to the Roman history, so that's why he doesn't believe in Jesus or the Bible. So not knowing anything about that, I thought I would kind of run that by you. Is that true? There is no mention of Jesus in the history books, mainly the Roman kind of history?
No, it's completely false. In fact, you can piece together highlights of the life of Jesus Christ wholly apart from the Bible on the basis of Roman history. When we're speaking about Roman history, I would first of all mention Flavius Josephus, who was a Jew writing to please the Romans. He very clearly mentions Jesus Christ and the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ in graphic detail. And then, of course, there are people like the Roman Tacitus, who was the greatest first century historian of the ancient Roman Empire. And he chronicles the death of Christ, who he says suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procreators, Pontius Pilate. Suetonius, who was a contemporary of Tacitus, he was best known for the 12 Caesars. He's also well known for gathering historical data from eyewitnesses, and he clearly talks about Jesus Christ as well. Plinius the Younger, another historian, a contemporary of Suetonius and Tacitus, wrote about Jesus Christ. So there's ample evidence about Jesus Christ as a historical figure in the writings of Roman historians.
Thank you very much. How surprised that can people, we can perish from the lack of knowledge. And that's why I appreciate your ministry of providing the information to everybody. Really appreciate it.
You know what might be helpful to you if you hang on? I can send you out a flip chart that I put together that's called MAPS. And what this does is it gives you, in a flip chart format, most of this information And it also chronicles the evidence for this information so that you know that it comes from reliable sources.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. As we go to break, a reminder once again that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We hope that you'll be one of those that does just that. If you can give, give generously. And again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can do it via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone, the number once again, 888-7000. Sierra, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. www.thenumberofwolves.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Janice. She's listening in Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, Janice.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to thank you very much for your ministry. I have a comment and a question. As a young Christian, my sister married her husband. He was very extreme and still is with what he believes. He's someone who believes that people die. I mean, they don't die. They go to heaven and visit and come back and that sort of thing. He believes that God speaks to him personally. Over the years, they were married for 38 years. Over the years, he was wrong about many things. And she supported him all along. And what happened was a couple of months ago, she came down with leukemia. And he told her that God told him that she was not going to die, that she would live. And so she did not have treatment, and she died 11 weeks later. And we are all very devastated. We're a Christian family, but none of us believe the same way that he does. And what I want to know is, what do we say to him? I'm mixed between, I'm so angry and I have compassion. Is he really a Christian? Can a real Christian go on year after year believing these things that are so unbiblical?
Well, he certainly can be deluded. And I think what's important is to be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. You can't change anybody's heart, but you can be prepared with a well-reasoned answer. Now, you can't force feed him. You can only hope that he will be open to instruction, and you need to be available as well so that people do not fall into the dangerous trap of believing these subjective anecdotes that can lead to real destruction, as you found out in a very tangible way. And I've had so many examples of that given to me anecdotally on the Bible Answer Man broadcast over the years of ministry, where people will stop taking medication because someone gets a subjective word from the Lord saying that they're going to be healed, or saying that if they had the kind of faith that biblical characters had, that they wouldn't have to take their medicine. And that kind of thinking is always a function of people who do not correspond to reality in the circumstances of a real, tangible world. So it's a very dangerous proposition. It's one of the reasons I wrote Christianity in Crisis 21st Century.
Yeah, okay. So, all right.
I mean, I think the important thing is to be equipped.
So, I mean, this does not mean that, I mean, I shouldn't look at him and assume that he's not a Christian, or, I mean, is it just something that I won't know whether he really is or not? Is he just deceived? Is he not really a Christian? I don't understand.
I think you're right in saying that you cannot make that call. We look at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. If you would have been around at the time of Judas, you would have said, wow, I want to be like Judas. He performed miracles, he was in Christ's inner circle. You would have wanted to be just like Judas. But Jesus saw beyond the externalities and saw the heart of Judas and recognized that he was a devil. And so, again, I think that underscores the reality that we can't make that judgment call, but what we can do is always be ready to give an answer. I've often said that the real issue is never evangelism, it's equipping for evangelism. If you're prepared, God can use your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you, Janice. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Shane, listening in British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Shane.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. My question is, I'm a new Christian. I was just baptized, like, probably 6 months ago, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm trying to grasp the details of the rapture. I'm just, like, you know, there's different references that I've picked up, but, you know, I talked to various other Christians, and it seems to be a belief where it's going to be post-apocalyptic or pre-apocalyptic, you know what I mean? You seem really intelligent when it comes to these facts, so I was just wondering your opinion on it.
Well, the whole idea of a pre-tribulational rapture is a rather novel or new idea in Christian history. Now, the fact that it's new does not mean it's not true, but I think it does warrant examining it carefully in light of Scripture, then holding fast to that which is good. What you'll find when you look at the Bible is that there is no indication whatsoever in all of Scripture that there's going to be a secret coming of Jesus Christ followed by a second coming of Jesus Christ, the two separated by a seven-year tribulation period. I think that's something that is imposed on the text of Scripture as opposed to taken from the text of Scripture. For example, the principal passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in reality, when you read it carefully, is a great and glorious passage on resurrection. In fact, it's a passage in which Paul tells believers that he does not want them to grieve like the rest of people who have no hope because Jesus died and rose again, and therefore we can be assured that we too will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. But that passage oftentimes has been used as a pretext for a pre-tribulational rapture, whereas in reality, there's no basis for that whatsoever. So I think the real issue is examining Scripture to see if these things are true. And that's as important for a new believer as it is for someone that's been in the faith for a long period of time. The Word of God is the final court of arbitration by which all things must be tested. If you want to get a good grasp on this, I've written a book. It's called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today.
The Apocalypse Code, where can I get that?
If you hang on, we can get a copy out to you, or you can just go to the web at equip.org, equip.org.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you. You know what? I'll do that. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Joel, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Joel.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'll make it quick. I keep hearing reference to Melchizedek, and I don't know what that term is. I was wondering if you could elaborate and kind of explain what that is.
Well, Melchizedek is described in the text of Scripture as someone who is without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. Now, that in itself should be a bit of a clue. But Scripture further goes on to say that he did not trace his descent from Levi, and yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises, and without doubt the lesser person is blessed by the greater person. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be the living. Just that phrase again, declared to be the living, ought to be another clue. Because in contrast to men who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. When you look at the whole corpus of Scripture, what you find is that Melchizedek is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And you see that in graphic detail when you look at the account of Abraham, who was king of Salem, or Jerusalem, the very region where God gave him victory in the Battle of the Kings, and the very region in which God called him to establish a righteous nation of kings and priests. So from the perspective of heaven in this scene, it is Melchizedek who is the king of Salem and remains a priest forever, as opposed to Abraham. And as such, Melchizedek appears as a human king and priest, yet is without beginning of days or end of life, a priest who offers bread and wine from the Jerusalem that is above, the Jerusalem that's free and is our mother. So Scripture not only designates Melchizedek king of righteousness and king of peace, but overtly tells us that, again, he's without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, and that like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So in total, what we have is a picture of a Christophany, which means a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. I've actually written about this in a lot of detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Divine Inspiration of Scripture. And one of the proofs that points in this direction with more clarity is what has been found in Cave 11 of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Melchizedek Scroll. It sheds further light in answer to the question you had.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll definitely pick up your book. I've been meaning to, so I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, and we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Men broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions. In the meantime, pray for us, and please, if you can, if the Lord has given you some of His resources financially, please invest them in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We need you now more than ever. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write and enclose a check at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Look forward to being with you tomorrow with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.